Welcome to episode 257 of Grid Talk. Today we're here to discuss the recently revealed car liveries for the 2023 Formula One season. My name is Ruby Price, and joining me today we have Grid Talk co-hosts George Howson.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon. And also Grid Talk co-host, as well as Monkey Seat podcast host, Tom Horrocks.
Hi, great to be back on.
Great to have you back, Tom. But first, if you enjoy this podcast, we'd love it if you could take five to leave us a five-star rating on Spotify or a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're one of the 72% of people who aren't yet subscribed to the YouTube channel, please consider helping us out with a like and a subscribe. So last time round, we talked about the liveries of Haas, Alfa Romeo, Red Bull and Williams. And today we're looking at the AlphaTauri, Ferrari, McLaren, Aston Martin, Mercedes and Alpine liveries. At the time of recording, this is before pre-season testing has taken place, meaning any comments on performance is pretty much speculative, but we did obviously have a previous season to go off. But it will really see how good the entries are once the lights go out in Bahrain in just under two weeks time, I think. So George, let's start off with the AlphaTauri team, who unveiled the AT04 livery at a glitzy event in New York. And well, there were at least a few more noticeable changes than their sister team, most notably the splashes of red from the new partners Orlen, who moved away from Alfa Romeo for 2023. What do you think of the car?
Unfortunately, I'm not as big of a fan of it this year as I was in previous years. I did like the very dark blue and the white or the silver they used to have purely on the whole of the car. That's now restricted to, well, I mean, just the main body of the car, really. All the aerofoils and stuff and the wheels, they have a splash of red, which, okay, it's a different colour. You know, it's a bit different because of that. But like you said, it's purely for sponsorship reasons. And unfortunately, it just looks like it's been kind of shoehorned in, really, rather than blended in with the livery like we've seen with some sponsors. I mean, I'll reference Williams again with their Duracell image on the air intake at the top of the car. I think that's brilliant. This, you know, that shows how it should be done. This shows how it shouldn't be done. It's dare I say it, it's a bit garish, and it's a bit ironic with them being a fashion brand as well. And I don't think they have a particularly good looking car. But you know, like with Prefaced as well, you know, these are just our opinions on the livery. What matters for AlphaTauri is them having a good car, because they had an awful season last year. They'll be hoping that De Vries and Tsunoda can get more points, regular points finishes than what they did last year. Purely from a looks point of view, I'm not a big fan. And I think I'm right in saying as well, I mean, the reveal video was like a minute. I'm sure I saw a reaction online to that and it was like super quick. It was like, is that it? Really? That's the whole thing? You're a fashion brand. You got Red Bull backing. You got all this money and you just do like a 60-second video. It's a bit disappointing, to be honest with you. So, but what's going to matter for them is how they perform out on track, of course.
Yeah, considering how long and drawn out some of these livery reveal really have been, you know, including their sister team, Red Bull, you know, like a 1 minute, just here's the car. Let's hope they last longer than that in actual on-track timings and stuff. But Tom, moving on to Ferrari, who's SF23, arguably had the most energy like for the reveal and actually featured the cars on track. It's red, it's got black highlights, definitely looks like a Ferrari. But there has been some talk regarding the front wing design featuring slot gap separators that resemble the Mercedes car from COTA last season. What did you make of the Ferrari?
Yeah, you're absolutely right there with the design on the front wings. It was the design that Mercedes opted not to run for fear of protest. So it's going to be interesting to see what they make of that, and if the other teams do protest it, because let's be honest, they would protest anything given the opportunity, if it's going to take anything to kind of stop Ferrari, especially given what we're hearing about the gains that they've made in the engine. It's certainly looking like it's going to be a decent season for them. But as for the car itself, I do quite like it. I always liked the addition of the black in the Ferrari, and obviously we saw that come back last year. So for purely aesthetic reasons, I do like that on the Ferrari. It's not too much black. It's not just turning it into a Mercedes or anything like that. So, but it is. We just need to be careful, because Ferraris need to be like predominantly red, and we don't want to have this turning into a two-tone car, but I do think that Ferrari have picked up the mantle of last year with what I still believe was the best looking car on the grid last year, and they've picked it up. And although I don't think it's quite as striking as last year's car, as a car in general, I do quite like it. It's good to see they've stuck with their philosophy and not panicked given the problems that they had, and going with the whole kind of bathtub / baby bell system on the side pods. I really do like that as a look. I think that's how a Formula One car should look. I don't think we, much as I respect what other teams have done with the side pod design and sculpturing and everything, I think this is how a Formula One car should look. You should have these big side pods on the side and make them so they've got undercuts and all little tricks like that. Whatever you can do to gain the speed, but it's a Formula One car. It's red. It's beautiful. It's a Ferrari. So overall, I'm happy with it.
Yeah, I will also add that on the part of like the risk of protesting and stuff, according to Autosport, as part of revised technical regulations 2023 that were published in December, the FIA removed the key sentence that laid down the requirement for like those winglet things to actually be for mechanical, like structural and measurement reasons. So as long as they provide a structural connection between consecutive front wing profiles and comply with strict measurement requirements, they are now fully legal, basically no matter how much of an aerodynamic boost they deliver. So we might start seeing a few more mechanical-based front wing-like complications. But George, I'm going to look at McLaren now. You were particularly excited for the McLaren launch on the previous show. Now that we have had the MCL60 revealed, celebrating 60 years since the team was founded by Bruce McLaren, was all the hype true?
I'm afraid it's a no from me, to quote an X Factor judge. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's still one of the better looking cars on the grid, absolutely. I love the papaya colour on there, the orange. I love the light blue. But there's just not enough of it. I mean, like a few teams, like Tom has alluded to, a lot of teams have splashed some black on this year to the paint schemes. I mean, I think for Ferrari, it worked. You know, I'm not a Ferrari fan, as everybody who listens to this show knows, but I like the look of that car. I think it looks great. I really do. And I love the way they revealed the car too, of course. But some teams, it doesn't look that great, like Alfa Romeo, and unfortunately, like McLaren as well. I just think it's just going to look a bit dull compared to last year. I mean, I was lucky enough to see all the F1 cars last year at Silverstone in action, and the McLaren, oh my God, the McLaren was beautiful. Like, it looks great on telly, don't get me wrong, but seeing it in person, seeing that orange, it just... You can see why it's used as a colour for like track marshals and stuff like that, because it just stands out, you know, it really does. And you know, yeah, so from that point of view with the livery for this year, I'm not a big fan of it. I did really like the colours they had Google Chrome on the wheels before, but they've slapped some of it on like the on the aerodynamic devices by the front wheels, and they've put it on near the back of the engine cover as well, and it's on either side of the driver now. It's just, yeah, it doesn't look as good as what it used to. It's probably in the top half of the grid in terms of appearance for me, but compared to last year, it's definitely moved back.
Yeah, and because we have two very prominent McLaren fans, I'm actually just going to come over to Tom to see if he's got anything else to add about the McLaren, just, you know, if there's a polarity there or anything along those lines.
Well, yeah, I think top half livery is pretty spot on, and that's pretty much where I expect McLaren are going to be performance wise as well this season. So it's kind of just eking into that top half, which is a bit disappointing given what we were hoping for McLaren. But yeah, I'm on the same page as George. Really, I do really love that the light blue kind of almost nod to the Golf livery. Obviously, they're no longer partnered with Golf, but they've stuck with the colours. It's very much a branding exercise for McLaren now, and if you look at all their cars through all the series they're in now, the same with Formula E, Extreme E and IndyCar, they're all very similar branding wise. IndyCar slightly different given that they have three cars in there, so the colours are slightly different, but the papaya, the blue and black are all very, very common. So I mean, similar vein to George, it's nice to see that they're getting a stronger partnership with Google, being such a massive brand, and that's going to be good financially for McLaren. But I agree, probably last year's livery was probably a solid 9 out of 10 for me. This is more of like a 7.5, so yeah.
Fair enough. We'll stay with you, Tom, because we'll let you talk about a different car. One of your favourite teams to talk about on Grid Talk, the Aston Martin. Not much seems to have changed livery-wise. It does look almost exactly like last year's livery. However, the AMR-23 apparently has a heavily revised front wing, new side pods, and a new engine cover with a bigger inlet on the roll hoop. But will it help them and veteran F1 driver Fernando Alonso move up the grid?
I think the car will move up the grid this year, definitely. As for the livery, you're not going to get a lot of comment out of me on the livery itself because, yeah, it's copy-paste from last year. The trouble is with Aston Martin, they do these great livery reveals and they look fantastic. Don't get me wrong, it looks stunning in the pictures. But you just know when it goes on track, it's just gonna look like something floating down a stream because that's what it looked like in 2021 and very much it's slightly better last year. But it just... I just feel like if they're trying to create this incredible, amazing future Formula One team, but I don't think they've quite got it yet. It's too simplistic. It needs something else just to really make it pop because it doesn't. You see it on track, and it just kind of blends into the background. And it's great when you've got all these renders with all fancy colours flashing around it to really make it stand out. But make it look good on track. That's the important thing, really. It needs to look good on track. It needs to look good in person and on telly. Come back to me when you can do that because right now they can't do that. So yeah, I'm very whelmed would be the word I would use to describe Aston Martin.
It also has to perform well on track, which was something that they were very inconsistent with in 2022. But this is just about the liveries and cars at the minute. But George, it's back in black for Mercedes in 2023, whose W14 looks to be sticking with their radical no side pods concept, which did present a number of challenges for the team in 2022. A lot of exposed carbon fiber and the lack of actual paint will help with weight saving. And we'll talk more about this carbon fiber revolution later on. But as far as the livery goes, what do you think? Could they have been a bit more experimental?
I mean, perhaps. You know, I'm not a graphic designer kind of person. But you know what? I've got to say, I think the Mercedes is one of the best looking cars this year. It's very subtle in what it's done. I like the light blue kind of like wave that's got going down the car for Petronas. I mean, I did say on the part one of this show a week ago before the car was revealed, you know, I would have liked to see them go back to black again. I would like to see. I think it looks much better than the silver, but I thought it would have been silver given that that's, you know, their traditional colours. And I'm very glad to see that they've gone back to the black paint scheme. I think it looks great. I really do. It's subtle. But at the same time, you've got little elements to it. Like you have a little red ring around the air intake. You've got the day glow kind of yellow for some of the numbers for Sir Lewis Hamilton. I know his number 44 will be kind of a yellow color. So just little things like that, it'll stand out. I think from an aerodynamic point of view as well, it looks very tidy. Like you said, I mean, the side pods, they've stuck with their very skinny side pods, which I think really hurt them in the early parts of the season last year, but they definitely got on top of it as the season went on. And I'm sticking with what I said. I think Mercedes would be the most likely team to challenge Red Bull this year for the championship. Potentially put Ferrari in there as well if they can get their act together in terms of the strategy, et cetera, et cetera. Like we've said a million times on this show, but it is a very big thing they need to address. And, you know, Vasseur could do that for sure. But yeah, no, I think it looks good. And like you said, it's, you know, it'll help with the weight saving as well. A couple of grams of paint saved off each side, a couple more on the front wing. I think it looks good. I'm glad they've done it because I think the silver traditionally, I know it's very important for Mercedes, there's a nice story behind it and everything, but I honestly just think it looks a bit plain. At least McLaren, when they used to be silver, you know, they had like the Vodafone sponsorship and stuff like that to kind of make it pop a bit more. But Mercedes, when it's silver, usually it's a bit boring. But this, I think it could be a beast. I think it could be a real monster this season.
Yeah, another thing as well to touch on as well, the reason as to why the Mercedes went silver in the first place, because the white paint was too heavy. Now they've gone black because the silver paint is too heavy. So there is at least that going for it. But last but not least, actually, Tom, we got two liveries for Alpine. A BWT special livery that will be run at selected races throughout the year. And the official livery for their A523 car, which resembles that of the last two seasons, but with just a bit more exposed carbon fiber. So the topic of today, should we really have expected anything else? And what do you make of the A523?
So Alpine's car launches started very much how I expect their season to go. Two different directions, no one really knowing what's going on, and at the end not really showing anything. So they just seem to have like an identity crisis at the moment. And the car's fine. You know, when last year's car came out, I said that they've gone from having the best looking car on the grid to having the worst looking car on the grid. I don't know if I've just kind of got used to it over time, but it's slightly less offensive to me this year. I think maybe because there's more black on it, it's kind of drowning out the blue and pink kind of clash that's just so on that car. It looks fine, but the trouble is as well with this whole kind of special all pink livery as well for BWT but neither of the cars shown are actually going to be the car. They're both show cars, so they've managed to one up Red Bull in one sense in that they've done a launch and not shown a car, and but they've actually shown two cars that aren't cars. So yeah, it's just frustrating. But the car itself, fine. You know, it's a slightly less offensive livery wise to what we saw last year. A few interesting changes on it, but they're probably all virtually going to be gone by the time we get to Bahrain anyway with a B spec car. And so it's still slightly clashy. It's still probably going to be a midfield fumbler that's should be higher up than it is, and probably got it's probably going to start the season as the fourth best car again, and probably finish fifth in the championship. Fingers crossed, only if McLaren are fourth. But I don't really know what I can say about Alpine, to be honest. But the driver lineup is about as impressive as their admin department and contract advisors. So let's see what they can do. Let's hope they do well.
Some absolutely savage comments from Tom Horrocks there. But you know, that's all of the liveries discussed. Let's have a bit more of a conversation now regarding this whole exposed carbon fiber weight saving era. I'll start with you, George. Do you feel like this is something the FIA maybe need to address in a sort of like technical regulation style, almost as though, you know, we got the rule about having aesthetically pleasing front wings and noses to, you know, combat like the weird sort of like tusk front wings and the front wings that resemble certain body parts. You know, do you think it's something the FIA need to step in with for, you know, just having like, you know, maybe vinyl or something along those lines? Or do you think this is just what we're going to have to get used to seeing a lot more black on the cars?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a very good point you raise about the 2014 cars, the anteater noses, or there's another term but people use for them. I'll let you look that up if you want to, if you're over 18. But yes, I don't know. I mean, it's a tough one because at the end of the day, it's a design choice. It's not, it will affect some weight saving. I don't pretend to know how much paint goes onto a Formula One car, but I'm willing to bet it's, I don't know, like half a kilogram for the whole car. I really don't know. They've probably got some very clever way of spraying it so that it's, you know, that it's still bold, but it's very little actual mass on the car. So how much they're actually saving from doing this, I don't know. You'd like to think it's quite a bit, but it might be a bit like what track limits used to be, you know, people saying that the driver's saying, oh no, it's quicker to stay on the track, but then they'd run off the track all the time. It's like, why are you doing it then, mate? There's got to be a reason behind this. So, I mean, but yeah, from a viewer's kind of standpoint, there's a lot of cars that are going to look very similar. I mean, I'm just going to scroll through some of them now quickly. I mean, okay, the Alpine will stand out, especially early on when it's all pink, which Tom has, you know, Tom slated them just then for their look. And I'll join him on that one as well. I think both the liveries don't look particularly great. But in terms of cars that actually look quite similar, I mean, the Ferrari will probably look fairly similar to maybe the Alfa Romeo. You've got the McLaren with quite a bit of black on it. The Alfa Tauri is not going to stand out much. And of course, the Haas as well. The Haas is majority black this year too. So telling the cars apart while they're going around the track might be difficult for some of them. We won't know until we see them in testing or maybe even the first race. But it's maybe something that the FIA could look at doing. But they've all got the option open to me at the end of the day. They can all do it. So I doubt we're going to see many protests about that, to be honest. And I doubt we're going to see much change, but it's something to definitely, you know, keep in mind. I mean, it's not like the whole thing is carbon fiber, like they're going out there, like it's a test livery for Pirelli or something like that. It's not on that level, but who knows, a few years down the line, we could see that maybe.
And that's yeah. exactly my point, is that, yeah, we could see that, and it is the same for everyone. But if every gram of paint you've got on that car, it's low-hanging fruit, you're giving performance away. And I think with stuff like this, you need to take it out of the team's hands. And when you've got situations like this, then the teams are going to take as much as possible. You're never going to get these... with a car like the brand image of Formula 1, to make Formula 1... like stand out and be as good as it can be, we need to have stunning liveries, we need to have great cars. You know, we had all these a few years ago, people complaining all the cars look the same, and I think we're going to get into the same situation again. I think people have realized now that they need to make their cars stand out and for the brand image and to help the growth of Formula One, and it's going to help their bottom line. But the reason they're doing this is because they can. Take it away from them, because let's be honest, we're saying that we're saying that these cars are sorry, I completely lost my train of thought now. We're saying that they're giving away performance by doing it, and everyone can do it, so they're just going to keep doing it, and we are going to end up in a situation where some car is going to come out with a completely black livery and a logo, and the minimum logos they can, because that's, you know, they're sponsors and that's what they have to do. If the FIA make a ruling where you say every aerodynamic surface has to be 95% covered with paint, or, you know, certain types of materials or whatever they do, whether it be, like you say, a lacquer or something, I think it has to be cut. There can be X amount of bare carbon fiber. Now, you're going to have some surfaces that have to be carbon fiber for, like, if you've got like certain inlet points for bits of bodywork, and you can't have paint up against them, that kind of thing. So I think if you had every top surface or every aerodynamic surface of the car has to have a certain percentage of covering, I think that would be the way to go. And, you know, the teams can decide it amongst them, because at the end of the day, the teams want their cars to look as great as possible, but if you give them the chance to take some weight away, they're going to take it. So I'm pretty sure all the teams would get behind it. If you said every car has to be completely covered in paint, then they would go with that, but they would find a way to take that to the maximum. At the moment, they can take 90% of paint off the car and run it legally. If you said to them they can't do that, they would have no problem. Everyone would do it. Everyone would be in the same boat. And Formula One as a whole would look better. So I don't see why we can't do that. I'm quite passionate about it, you can probably tell.
Yeah, definitely some passion there. According to Alfa Romeo, to actually quote the statistics I was saying in the chat there, according to Alfa Romeo, they can save about 6 kilograms by not painting the carbon fiber. And Red Bull apparently saved 600 grams by switching from gloss paint to matte paint. So I imagine, like, following on from what you were just saying, Tom, you know, if a team had to paint everything and, you know, it was a matter of needing to save weight, they'd probably all just end up being matte cars, for example, or, you know, definitely not gloss. I remember when McLaren switched from that sort of like chrome in 2015, halfway through the season, to the black, just because of how much weight, like putting on like the shiny silver that they were doing was costing them. It was apparently something like 1.6 kilos or something like that, which that's a lap and a half of fuel almost. But yeah, like definitely think, you know, there needs to be a conversation about it, particularly amongst, you know, the teams, if not just the FIA, but like you say, the teams are always going to go for weight saving if given the option. But we'll see what happens across the season. As long as, you know, we don't start seeing what happened last season, where all the teams, apart from Alfa Romeo, started off overweight, Alfa Romeo being the underweight team, and in order for them to catch up for weight saving, just take off the sponsors. You know, I think George pointed it out in last week's show, the Duracell logo for Williams. I think that was supposed to be on last year's car originally, and it just disappeared because, you know, there was weight saving involved and stuff, but that car definitely got a lot less blue towards the end of the season. Yeah. And we want to see a lot less of that happening. And so do, you know, so do other fans, so do anyone actually watching we've seen a lot of teams sort of blend together. Usually it was teams with a lot of white on them blending together, whereas now it's teams with a lot of black blending together. But yeah, I think something needs to be done if it does become a lot more drastic. But, you know, I think enough complaining. Let's say, what is our favourite of these liveries then? Or at least what do we think the best is? I'll start with you, George. What's the best livery revealed out of, well, all of them now, I guess, now that we've got them to compare?
Yeah, we've got all 10 now, yeah. For me, it's Ferrari. You know, as one of my fellow Sheffield natives, Gino De Campo, would say, it's fantastico. I think it looks absolutely brilliant. I really do. The more I look at this car, the more I think this looks brilliant. I mean, if you see the side angle, the one they're using on the F1.com website, because they've got some carbon fiber. This is how carbon fiber should be exposed and used in a livery. Because of the way they've done it, they've put like the Italian flag, they put the driver number, and then there's the red kind of like in front of it. And that red makes it look almost like a V10 kind of era car, a lot smaller on the top. I think it looks brilliant. I think the livery looks, I don't think it's even close with the rest of the teams. I mean, I gave Mercedes a little shout out. I think Aston Martin's not too bad either, to be honest, but yeah, it's got to be Ferrari. And the way they revealed it as well, by having like a bunch of fans at Fiorano, the test track as well. I think that was great. I mean, you compare that to some of the other teams, and it's like, this is how it should be done, with the fans out on track. They can actually see the actual car in action. I think it's great. I don't think any of the other ones really come close, to be honest with you, in terms of pure looks. And Ferrari will be hoping that it translates to some good performances from this season.
Yes, absolutely. The Ferrari does look good. Like you say, the application of the carbon fibre is also a good way of using it and how it should be done. Tom, your favourite of the liveries, please.
I'm really torn, actually. I have to say, I agree with George in Ferrari with regards to the launch. It was the best launch, but I just can't quite. I think a car that doesn't look quite as good as last year can't have the best livery for me. So divergence, I'll go for something else as well. And do you know what? To completely like break the internet, I'm tempted to say Red Bull, because it is. If you look at all the cars, it is an iconic livery. It's a brilliant livery. It's a great looking car, but it's just identical every year. But the livery itself is fantastic. But if you're looking at a car that looks better than it did last year, I can't look beyond the Mercedes. I still think the 2021 livery is better, but given where they've come from, I think that the green really stands out. I think it's a beautiful car. I think that the green and the Petronas green blue, that we have arguments about colours of plates in my house about whether they're green or whether they're blue, so I'm careful how I phrase this. But yeah, the two different colours that might be green and might be blue, very, very striking. And again, the return to the black is great. I just wish it was for the reasons that we want it to be, rather than weight saving. But I'm going to go with the Mercedes.
The Petronas grew, or the Petronas bleen, whichever one of them it is. I think I'm going to say that the livery that I would consider to be the best, I think you've made a very good point there, Tom, regarding Red Bull. Big fan of the Ferrari as well, but my favourite of the liveries, with no personal bias whatsoever, is the Mercedes. Just the black car, I've always had an affinity for. I like the integration of the bleen, grew, whatever we want to call it. I think it's done a lot better than it was on the 2021 car, where they obviously had like random, like sort of splodges of the whatever color it is. I think it's done a lot more succinctly and tidily, and I really hope it's a fast car, because we need to see a challenge for the title this season.
Yeah, just to correct myself there, I did mean the 2020 livery, not the 2021 livery, so thank you for correcting me there. The 21 livery was a bit clumsy.
Just a little bit, yeah. And thankfully no red Ineos air intake box, like the entire thing. I thought that was a mistake last season. But on that note, I'm going to call that a show. George, you're obviously very well known to our Grid Talk audience, but if people want to find more from you online, where can they go?
They can head to footballchronicle.com. That's football spelled the Spanish way, with a U and a single and a ball at the end rather than a ball. Yeah, so I do a weekly opinion piece on the happenings in football. I've just put live an article about the Czech footballer who I'm probably going to butcher the pronunciation of the name. I think it was Jako Jantko. He's just come out as gay and probably the most high profile homosexual footballer in the men's game ever, arguably. And I think that's a really good thing for football. But unfortunately, as I show in the article, there are some absolutely despicable people online, as we know. Social media does bring out the best and the worst in the world. And unfortunately, it's brought out the worst in some people there. So I do a bit of an opinion piece on my kind of take on, obviously, how it's a good thing that he's done this, but it's a bad thing that it's still, people still being abused for their sexual orientation online. I think it's disgusting. But yeah, if you want to check out my opinion pieces on that and some lighter subjects like who was the best teams in the transfer window, you can head over to footballchronicle.com.
Yeah, definitely go and give it a read. Tom, again, Grid Talk, but also where can people find you and the Monkey Seat podcast?
Well, when we eventually do a podcast, it will be monkeyseatpod.com. We are back. We did take a little bit of a break towards the end of the season, but we are going to be back this season and doing regular shows after races as well. So that's myself and Carl. We basically you could call it Grid Talk, but with the swearing rather. So we don't worry too much about we don't obviously offend people for the sake of offending people, but we don't worry about censoring ourselves and our opinions in that. So if you want a much more politically incorrect version of Grid Talk, then head to the Monkey Seat podcast, soon to be restarted.
Monkey Seat podcast, Grid Talk after dark.
Pretty much is Grid Talk with extra Carl. So.
Yeah. But it's not had me on it yet, so it can't be.
Although we are going to be having guests on next year. We decided we're going to have people on most weeks. So stay tuned for Ruby's debut on the Monkey Seat.
Stay tuned. And if you do want to hear any more from me, if you are that way inclined, the easiest way to do that is to check me out on the socials at Rubes on most platforms or at Rube001 on Instagram. And if you want to hear more from Grid Talk, it is available on YouTube, where most race episodes are recorded live, as well as Amazon Fire, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, Verbal, and Pocket Casts. Just search Formula One Grid Talk for our huge back catalogue of shows, previews and reactions to qualifying and the race results. Please consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get mics, lights, and better recording equipment. Also, make sure you subscribe to be the first to know when each new episode is released every week. We'll be back next week with more F1 content. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.